want to give honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is because of him, and without his grace, I wouldn't be here tonight. Brother Levi, thank you for sharing the truth of the Word of God tonight here. The truth of God's Word has gone forth night after night. Stelzfus family, God bless you. Message and song tonight. We've seen God move. We've seen God work in drawing many souls to the well of grace, to the well of living water. My beloved brother Dave and his wife Ruth Ann and Derek, Deborah, Gigi, and Colin Gracie. For Sarah and I, they are our very dear friends. I over and over say, when we pray for God to bring people to work alongside, he has so favored us, so blessed us to have this honor for going on 20 years to minister together. God knows my heart. Dave knows when I share this. I would have enjoyed staying here for these 2 weeks and being his greatest cheerleader. To keep praying for him as he ministers the word of God. We want to see God move. We want to see God work. But the most important thing night after night is that we're finished here. The most important thing of all, was it pleasing to Jesus Christ? And is it to have his approval? The Apostle Paul, when he ministered the word of God, he was like a conductor with an orchestra. When there's an orchestra and there's a conductor, all of those musicians that are playing those fine instruments, they're not watching the audience. Those musicians have their eyes on the conductor. And when the conductor is nodding his head toward them, that everything is all right, those people that are playing the music are okay. It's nothing to do with the audience. They're saying to the conductor, if you're saying it's okay, everything is fine. Our great conductor, I don't want to even use that word, for our master, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, our Jehovah Jireh, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if he looks at us and has the approval, then everything is all right. Everything is okay. That's really what matters. My sweetheart has not arrived yet. I told somebody we're older, it takes us longer to get here. That's not nice to say, but honey, I didn't mean it if she's live streaming, but she'll be coming, Lord willing. And like Jesus, we know he's coming. We're not quite sure when, but we're not sure yet which day this week, but she's helping out at home right now. She's needed there at this time. I love her so much, 45 years in April, 15 grandchildren. And a couple hours before I walked in here, she was informing me again. She's praying for me. And I knew she would be, regardless whether she would tell me that or not. But the Lord has led me to minister on something tonight I've never ministered on. Not, I may preach some of these passages, but never this message. But the Lord was laying it on my heart from home before we left, but didn't know when. And then last night, Merle come up here. These are divine appointments. And as he closes, he uses Isaiah 6. And as he uses those scriptures, I'm sitting here trembling because that was the affirmation that I needed. We always look for affirmations. Dave would tell you that tonight, and Levi, that are ministers, affirmations of what God wants us to share. You know, friend, here tonight, this is the greatest honor on the face of the earth, is to be a representative of Jesus Christ. But don't look at us and say, oh, that's something for you. No, it's every one of us tonight that are believers. We have the greatest privilege and the greatest honor in the whole world. We are his representatives. We are his children. There's no higher honor in the world than being an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight I tremble when we share here to say, God, is this what you want? And help me to bring it in a way, oh God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been ministering about the Holy Spirit all week, last week, the whole week long. People have been coming into the presence of the Holy of Holies through the power of the Holy Spirit to drink the living water. How precious. And it's out of the book of Isaiah. That's where you started, Dave. Was there in Isaiah? And we've kind of lingered in Isaiah, you know, and you've been there different nights. And just to see how the hunger, we have talked about the hunger here that we have seen, the diversity of people, but collective hunger that we have seen among God's people who are saying, I want more. I want to drink. I want to be where the well is flowing. I want to be where the river of life. I want to be where the Holy Spirit is moving. That's where I want to be. I believe that is what thrills the heart of God. And I want to encourage us in that here tonight. And tonight the message God has laid on my heart is woe is me. And that's the title of the message. I don't get anything else to put on it. But I told Derek, I said, woe is me now. I'm not as tech savvy here. Oh, some of these beautiful PowerPoints. Woo! Tell you what. They are dazzling anyhow. I'm trying to watch them jump around and they're going all over the place, you know, and I'm like, anyhow. I'm the only one in the ministry that is not yet, you know, computer and gets one of these things that you go across and you point here. I never did like mice, so anyhow. But so we'll leave it at that, but it's just I have not come to that learning yet. But I did give some verses to Derek tonight if he wants to put some on the screen, fine. Hey, how many of you have a Bible? Just lift it up quickly. Bibles, okay. By the way, children, please listen up. There's little red New Testaments. Dave, show them what I mean here. There's little red Bibles in the back. Go back and grab one. We've got about 100 of them back there. These little red New Testaments, they've got Psalms and Proverbs and the New Testament. Children, if you don't have a Bible, go grab one. And then mom and dad, help them to find the scriptures if they don't know where it's at. And if you don't have a Bible tonight, friend, you need your Bible. You need the Word of God. Now, some of you have your whatever, phone, whatever, you know, or whatever it is, and you're following along the scriptures on that. But we have a lot of Bibles back here, and Ruth Ann has just got flooded. Das ist really gut. Hallelujah. And Bibles. And so take the Bible, and you can follow along. The first verses you're not going to find in this New Testament and Psalm and Proverbs. But then after these first scriptures, then you're able to follow along in the scripture here tonight. If you don't have enough of those Bibles, we'll go and we'll get some more. Now, I need to share this tonight that, and please pray. This has been a week of brokenness for Dave and I and many others. And some of that weeping has been because of the reality of what's happening in heaven and glory land and the realms of heaven and just over the beauty of Christ and who he is and what he's done. And then some of that has also been a brokenness because of our heart pain that we feel in the community. Of people sharing of different things that they're going through. And we weep when we pray together over here and we weep and our heart becomes broken. And I believe what breaks your heart should break our heart and what breaks the heart of God should also break our heart. But the last crusade Dave spoke about out in Illinois. We were out in Illinois a couple months ago and he preached a few nights, I preached a few evenings. And the one night when I was preaching, I have three daughters. We had three daughters living there. Carol, Amy, and Emily, seven of our grandchildren out there, and for our 10-year-old grandson that lives there, he'd never really seen the tent, and hadn't been around the tent, didn't know what it was, and we had the motorhome parked there, and went down to the tent kind of early, and he was on the motorhome with me, and went down to the tent, and I was in the motorhome getting ready, and he was watching me get ready, and I just got to tell you, he may be watching, I don't know, his name is Graham. He's 10 years old. He's a young man that is an evangelist. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ and loves to pray. So I was getting ready on the motorhome, getting everything ready, and he said, Grandpa, are you getting wound up? And I said, well, I'm getting ready, you know. And so I got ready, and before we go out, then he says to me, he comes over here. He comes to me, and he says, Grandpa, He said, now can I pray for you?
Yes.
And then he lays his hands on me.
Yes, Jesus.
And he begins to pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he prayed.
Oh,
he prayed.
Jesus.
Touched my heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
We went into the tent. And as we went into that tent, he sat on a chair over. Thank you, Dave. He sat on a chair over here. And his grandpa was preaching. He sat there and had his legs up on the chair and had another chair in front of him, you know. And he'd be sitting there just going, yeah, yeah. You talk about sick 'em. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. You saw the video of it. Well, about an hour and a half ago, I was on the phone with him. And he prayed all over me. He prayed against the demons of hell. He prayed against all doubt. He prayed against all confusion. He prayed against the enemy. He encouraged me in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was just crying so much, I couldn't talk anymore. I just had to say goodbye. It just so touched my heart. In fact, when we were out there, I think he led one of my other four-year-old grandchildren to Jesus Christ. He's a little evangelist. Oh, glory. All the children that are here, God bless you so much. God has a heart for the children, and he said, except we become as a child, and we come that simple faith, just the faith of a child. And that is what I long for in my heart. Let us read the scripture together here this evening, make some comments. There's four different Bible characters to look at tonight. And the one here, of course, is Isaiah, and also David, and then also we'd like to look a little bit at Peter, and then in the closing on the thief on the cross here this evening. And here in Isaiah, the king of the king Uzziah, the year the king Uzziah died, also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one of the six wings, and the twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and also he did fly. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory. The posts of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me. I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. And he said, lo, this hath touched my lips. Thy iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, then said I, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Woe, what is it? Woe. Woe unto us. What is woe? I was looking today, what is it in Scripture? Because in the Scriptures, even in the four Gospels, Jesus would say, woe unto the scribes and the Pharisees. Woe unto the hypocrites. Woe, 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 woe. What does that really mean? The best description I can find is that which causes sorrow or distress and is a call to repentance. Woe is me. And Isaiah was saying, woe is me. There's something wrong here. And in the first four verses, he gets a vision of God. In the next verse is a vision of himself. And then he gets a vision of ministry. And in verse 1 and 2, he comes face to face with that encounter that changed him forever. In verse 3 and 4, he came to the realization of God's holiness and God's awesome personality. And in verse 5, he recognizes his own sinfulness, and he sees a contrast between himself and God, and he becomes broken himself. He becomes a broken man. Whoa, I am undone. I am unholy. His perspective is renewed in verse 6 and 7. His sin is purged, is cleansed, and it's taken away. He has a new outlook. He's ready to serve. And in verse 8, he responds to say, here am I. He heard the voice of the Lord and said, here am I. I want to share with us this evening. This is a pattern that we can follow, the layout that when we really understand the holiness and the righteousness of God, it does something to us. When we come face to face with the living God and he reveals to us unrighteousness, unholiness, the impurities in our life, the only way that we can enter that holy of holies is to say, woe is me. And come with a heart of repentance before the Lord. The vision of the holiness. And somebody has said, the most powerful force in the world, our souls on fire for God. I pray tonight we have souls here that are on fire for God. It is still the most powerful force in the world. I don't want to share tonight, God has two main goals in life for each of us. Number one is to draw us to himself. The other is to make us like himself. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. We serve a holy and a righteous God. I want to say again, what a joy it's been to see people come and say, I want to get into the presence of God. I want to get into the Holy of Holies, and I want to meet with God. Tonight, we want to look a little bit at what would keep us from doing that. What would keep us from and just worshiping him and adoring him and lavishing love upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What would keep someone from doing that? I want to look at a few of those scriptures here this evening and some of the problems that can happen with that. But he looks at our morals and what our thoughts are and so forth. He said, woe is me, I'm undone. Now, by the way, also scripture, I said, I'm a man of unclean lips. In Proverbs 18:21, death and life, I want the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18, and in verse 6, a fool's lips enter into contention. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. His mouth full of contention or destruction, and his lips the snare of the soul. And tonight, if I had time, we'd go to James 3, where it talks almost a whole chapter on the tongue and the flaming of what a tongue can do, the ungodliness of the tongue. Do you notice that Isaiah is not only, he's saying, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. I want to ask you tonight. Now, by the way, he didn't just say it's an unclean people of unclean lips that I dwell with and use an excuse for that. Everybody is doing it. Don't you know others are doing it? But he took personal blame for it. He was convicted personally. And he said, I'm going to be honest before you. The other night, Rick was ministering on that. Are we really going to be honest before the Lord? He was honest about it, and he confessed, and he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I've said things that I shouldn't have said. My mouth has spoken words that I should never have spoken. I want to ask us to look here this evening. Words, idle words that we speak, things that we speak about others, could be about our families or people or leaders in the church, things we say, words that are racially motivated, jokes and things we say, that if we look into the face of Jesus, he's saying, that's not my character. That's not my nature. The words that we use, are they pleasing to God? Or is it something that keeps us from entering the presence of God? Because when we enter in there, he's reminding us, oh, the words you spoke, things you said, racially motivated and so forth, whether it's minorities and against certain groups of people that we make fun of and we say these things. Oh, it's just normal talk. Everybody's doing it. That is not true. There are people that have a holy mouth and holy lips and holy speech, and they are not defiling that temple within. They're keeping it for Jesus Christ. I pray every person tonight is like that. But tonight, if God is saying, woe are you, because you laugh when everybody says a joke and they say a joke, you just laugh right with them. It's okay to laugh, but when we're laughing with the world about the wrong thing, it grieves the heart of God. Well, everybody's doing it. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Not everybody's doing it. But I think one of the things we need to take inventory is the words that we say and gossip. God, it grieves the heart of God. I'm saying tonight, what are the woes in our life? What are the woes that God is saying? Woe. That is a call for repentance, to not do that anymore. What would those things be that God is speaking to us, that he's saying, woe, a need to repent? The woe, but the words that are spoken, I want to ask this evening, because these kind of things are things that defile our heart, the words that we say, the words that come from our lips. If God is speaking to your heart tonight, think about the words. Think about the stories, or think about the things maybe that are said. But tonight, the Holy Spirit may be zeroing in on something in your life concerning words that are spoken, words that are damaging. It says death and life from the power of the tongue. Maybe it's the words that we speak to our family members. You are dumb, you are stupid, you're crazy, You're silly. You're fat. You're ugly. Hey, those are all words that hurt. They hurt. They're unclean words. That is not from the Lord. Those words are from the enemy. The Lord will never say you're dumb, stupid, you're ugly. He says you're beautiful. I created you. You are mine. I love you. I want you to come to me. Because he made us for his honor and for his glory. Someone says, why should we be pure? You know, the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It is not only in heaven, because those that are pure in heart, they will see the power of God, the will of God, experience the love of God. They will experience the purpose of God, the fulfillment of God when we are pure in heart. It means being out of tune with the world and being in tune with Jesus Christ. And you say, Lord, I'm a soldier for you. I want to say those things that bring honor and glory to his precious name. What about you tonight? Words that are spoken that grieve the heart of God. That tonight you're saying, woe is me. I said those words, and I repent of that tonight. I want God to cleanse me. It says here that he took that. He said, woe is me, because I'm unclean lips and dwell in people of unclean lips. And then he said, woe he has touched, when he took those off of the altar, those tongs, and he put them on his lips, and he brought them over there. And he laid it upon his mouth, and though he has touched my lips, then iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. That's what Jesus wants to do for each one of us. He wants to put the purging, cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, if it's unclean lips, that we repent and we say, oh, Jesus, I'm guilty. And he applies that blood to cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness when we come before him in that manner. And I wrote on here what needs to go that the Holy Spirit can flow. So as we move along in this tonight, just think about it tonight. What are the things that would keep us? You know, I do not deny the hunger and the thirst that is here. I am so thrilled for that. I have that hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ. Our burden is that we can all follow through with it. And we can drink long, deep, and strong. And be the men and women that God has designed and created us to be. That we don't come and say, yes, Lord, and then we walk away and the enemy says, you said yes, but you're not going to follow through. You don't even come to prayer. You don't even worship the Lord privately. You have a problem to even come face to face with God. You don't want to even come into his presence. You're not going to go there. What the devil hates the most is intimacy that we have with Jesus Christ. He said, go witness, testify, do work for God. Just don't get alone with him. Just don't get alone with Jesus. Do everything else, but don't get alone with Jesus Christ. There's a thing called Satan's convention. Dave, you remember? And on the bottom of it said, because the devil said to all his devilish angels, keep everybody busy, keep him busy. Whatever you can do, let him go and get busy. But one thing don't let him do. Do not let him take time to connect with Jesus Christ, or we will lose the power over them. Isn't that amazing? That is why it is so vitally important of that connection that we have, of the relationship to build in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the visions that God has can flow through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn with me. I want you to turn to Psalm 51. Now, it's in the Testament that you have there this evening. By the way, while you're turning there, I would also like to say for Job in Job 40, verse 4, he said, behold, I am vile. Job was a man that said he is vile. In fact, in Job chapter, I think it was 31, it says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. I'd like to address tonight also. Our eyes, the Bible speaks of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are areas that are damaging to us if we're not under control of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will say no. If we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, that we can say, Holy Spirit, you are right. This is not the way to go. It's a matter of obedience and being connected with him that we can hear what he's saying to us through the word of God. But in the book of Psalms, Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, David, a man after the heart of God. In Psalm 51, I just want to read a few of these scriptures. In Psalm 51, David had committed he broke four of the Ten Commandments. He committed adultery. He lied. He stole. He broke the commandments of God. And in Psalm 51, there's a cry of repentance from David. And Jesus, he accepts our cry of repentance. That is what he's looking for. In Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. David said, I'm acknowledging there's sin in my life, there's unrighteousness. He had come into the presence of God, and he knew what he had done. Tonight, if there's uncleanness, we know what it is, because the Holy Spirit zeroes in, and he points it out to us. I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. He took personal blame. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth on the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Follow through with me what he's sharing here in these scriptures. In verse 1, he's crying out for mercy. Mercy is what God gives each one of us. We live in a day of mercy and grace, where he says, if you confess, he says, I will forgive. I will cleanse you. There is hope for every person. I said it last night, maybe I'm not sure. Jesus is more willing to forgive us than we are eager to be forgiven. Says, I want to forgive you. I want to cleanse you. I want to live in you. I want to flow through you. I want to make you bridegroom ready. Then I want you to help others get ready. Then I want to bring you all to heaven. Hey, come on, church. Then I want to bring you all to heaven. But he said, I want to get it ready while we're here and help others get ready to go there. And then he says, I have sinned. He's admitting that sin. He said, you want truth on the inward part. It's the heart. The Bible says in Mark 7:21, from within out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, lust, covetousness, lasciviousness. All of these things comes from the heart and defiles the man, the woman, the boy, the girl. He said it comes from within. It's things that go in here and it gets into our mind and our will and our emotions. It defiles the heart. And he said, on the inward parts. And then he said, purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy. You know why? Because the joy had gone out of him. No wonder it says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. We find it hard to rejoice if the heart is not right before God. If there's things we know are not right, we're not going to be coming before him and rejoicing in him. The joy is withered away. I was at a church not long ago, I won't say what community. I come back and I said to Dave, I said, my heart is just heavy. Because I said in that church, there were people singing and playing, but people just stood there just like this. Like, what's the big deal? Their joy had withered away. And sometimes it's the woes of disappointment and discouragement that withers the joy away, the disappointments of life. Or it can be roots of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, and they were betrayed, they were rejected. Things just aren't going right. It's kind of like children, you know, when they're playing, all of a sudden they say, I'm not playing anymore. Maybe it's not a good illustration, but they say, I'm done. Would you imagine how many people are like that in our churches today? That are just like, you know what, joy's just withered away from me. There's just no joy. I call it, no unction to function. It's just not there. It's kind of like, what's the big deal? The big deal is Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, the blessed assurance, the nails in his hands and his feet on the cross, the blood he shed, the resurrection. Our name is in the book of life. Hallelujah. Give him a clap offering of praise tonight. Woo! Glory, I pray, oh Levi, I pray that it'll be a big deal to me till the day that I die. If I ever lose that passion, shake me to the roots of my boots, brother. Amen. Oh yeah, tears, oh yes, trying times, yes. Our hearts are grieved. There's things that are not going the way we wish. Sometimes it's in our families. Sometimes it's in our churches. It's in situations. And the enemy wants to just come in and steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and I'll give it to him unabundantly. The Bible says, 1 John 1 John 3:8, it says the reason that Jesus has come is to destroy the works of the devil. He said, if you let me, I'll destroy the works, but you got to come to me. You have to come to me. Trust me. Don't lose your faith. And I'll destroy the works of the devil, but you got to have faith that he can do it for you and for me. Don't walk in darkness. Don't walk in discouragement. When my 10-year-old grandson began to pray with me, one of the words he said was, Grandpa, I'm praying for Grandpa, Lord, that he would not be discouraged. I'm praying. I lost it. I'm like, ah! You know why? Because I have a temptation to become discouraged. Do you know that's one of the greatest tools of the devil? If I can discourage you, I will sideline you. And you'll be the one that'll start talking about others and find all the wrong things. Woo! Oh, my Lord. What about it tonight? Whoa, if there's envy, there's strife, there's jealousy. Maybe there's unforgiveness. There's division in family, division in marriages, division among parents and children. These are all woes. These are all things where the Lord is saying they cause grief, they cause sorrow, they cause distress. Disunity in the church and disunity in leadership or in the ministry and businesses and so forth. These are the kind of things that are woes to God. It grieved the heart of the Lord. He said, that's not my children. That's not my nature. That's not my character. Blessed are the pure in heart. He said, it's the pure in heart. They're going to understand the things of God that other people are saying, I don't understand. I don't understand everything. Oh, my. We're not meant to understand everything. Your song says, we'll understand it all by and by. And when the by and by comes, it's called heaven. We're not going to ask anything either. We're going to be just at his feet. And we're just going to worship the King through the ages. And I think a whole lot of singing is going to happen. I don't understand the things that are going on. There's some things that just so grieve our hearts. We're like, why is this happening, God? Why? What is your purpose? And you know, it's okay to ask. Do you know from the cross, Jesus asked God, my God, why have you forsaken me? He'd never felt the sting of sin. He'd never felt the guilt of sin. He'd never felt the shame of sin. But he just all of a sudden became sin for you. He became sin for you. He became sin for you. He became sin for me. He was filled. The Bible says his soul became an offering for sin, and God was satisfied because he was carrying the sins of the whole world. My God, why have you forsaken me? I've never felt this before. He didn't answer him. But it says in Isaiah 53, God was satisfied. It satisfied God. Sometimes we don't understand, and I think it's okay for us to ask the question, God, why? Why? I don't understand. But tonight, if there are those things in your life right here this evening, again, if there is the envy, the strife, the jealousy, if there's division, unforgiveness, and those kind of things, I want to encourage you tonight, listen to the voice of God. Why? Because these are things that even though we want to come into the presence of God and of the Holy of Holies, there's things that will keep us from having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the moment we begin to pray and the Spirit takes a hold of us, he's going to remind us of things that are not right. We have to deal with it. We need to repent of it. We need to bring it to him. And just be honest. Just be honest with him. Oh, I got to go on really quickly. But he said, David goes on to say, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. There was some spiritual things in his life that were not right. Create a right spirit. Maybe it was an unclean spirit, an unholy spirit, a self-righteous spirit. But whatever it was, and he's crying out, cast not away from thy presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I want to feel the Spirit moving in my life. God, don't take it from me. That was his plea and his cry. He says, cast not away. And then in verse 12, he says, restore to me the joy. See, the joy was missing. Lord, would you bring back the joy again that used to be there? I don't have that anymore. You know, there's times where I feel that joy is just starting to go. And I say, Lord, I just need to spend more time with you. to restore, renew, increase my faith, Lord. Start singing to the Lord. Start reading more scripture that just fills your soul. It builds you up in the faith. There's not one of us exempt here tonight that sometimes that joy has a tendency of, because of things of this world that we go through. And then he goes and he says, then I will, in verse 12, 13, then will I teach transgressors their ways and sinners will be converted unto you. What did David say? Lord, when I'm restored to you, when my attitudes, my actions, when these things are proper, then I will be able to speak the proper things and say the proper things. And he says, sinners will come to you. What's the words he uses here? Then will I teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He said, then I will speak the things of God. I'll be a soul winner. I'll tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. My mouth is clean again. I can say the things. My heart is clean again. You notice it was a sequence he was going through. And God honored that. In fact, if we, the last verses he says here in verse 17, sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. That's what God is looking for. And then would you just turn with me to Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, and by the way, let me just share while you're turning there this evening. What are some of these things that are woes that are causing our hearts to become dirty, that are causing our hearts to become unclean? I don't have time to turn to it here this evening. But in 1 John 2:15-17, he says, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For the love of all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. The world's going to pass away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. He said, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. There are things that grieve the heart of God. The electronic age that we are living in today. If somebody checked your social media for the past 24 to 48 hours, what would their testimony be of how much you love Jesus and what's on your heart and what you shared? Social media has become a God robber in many ways. But people enter into things never thought they'd get into, and then it's not only the vile things, but then it's conversations that rob time. And Facebook becomes much more popular than the book. And I don't know all the things that people go on there, with the text messaging and Facebook and the emailing and the YouTube and the internet surfing and all of those things. And I know there's a whole lot of other words that how people connect. What do you do on social media? Is it the character and the nature of Jesus Christ? If somebody wouldn't know you, but they check what you've just said in the last 24 to 48 hours, how would they describe who you are? Friend, it's very serious. It's very serious. Because it gives away where our heart is really at. Some of you need to just say, whoa, it's time to halt. It's just gotten carried away. It's stolen my heart. And you know what really grips my heart is when I hear people say, these people in the church are responding about this, and these are responding about this, and this has happened, now these are saying this and that. And I'm like, why? Why? Now it's pitting people against each other and causing heartache and pain and attitudes, differences in relationships. Did you see what he said? Did you see what she said? Now, of course, my fanatic Facebook friend, Steve Stutzman, is in here tonight. I love you. I know he goes on there because he is so spiritually stirred up that he wants to get everybody else stirred up. And then he wants to see what's going to be the response. God bless you, Brother Steve. You know, One time I asked somebody, it was from our church, and I said to look up something, and this man was looking up something on the internet, whatever, and something popped up, and I said, what is that? He said, oh, that's what pops up when you're looking for information. I said, that's it, man. That's it. I don't want to even ever go there. I'm glad I don't know how to get on it, but glory to God. You know, sometimes ignorance is bliss. It can be used in a right way. But I fear what is happening that is causing grief to the heart of God. And then I just want to say tonight, and maybe here tonight, the other night Dave was mentioning and everything also about, you know, pornography and those kind of things also. And I just want to say, if some of those things are in your heart and there's things that you've gotten into, I want to tell you, friend, this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ is so willing to forgive and to cleanse you and to make a new beginning. In fact, let's just go here to Luke and look a little bit here, because Peter is such an example. And Peter here, and I'm going to paraphrase this for time's sake here tonight. But when Peter and his partners had gone fishing in here in Luke chapter 5, and then his partners and Simon Peter saw what happened because hadn't taken any fish. And then Christ came and said they should go out after he preached in Simon's boat. It wasn't called Peter at the time, Simon. After he preached in his boat, and then he said, now let down for a drought. And he said, we've been toiling all night. We've taken nothing. But all of a sudden, you know the story and how the boat was filled with fishes. Look at it. You can see in the scriptures there where it says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8. In fact, in verse 7, it says it was so full, they called their partners to come, and the nets were breaking, and Peter, he was so astonished, and his partners that were with him. It says he fell down at Jesus' knees, and he said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Lord, depart from me. He was looking into the face of Jesus. He said, I've been proud. I've been arrogant. I mean, I'm the best fisherman. Everybody knows me as the best this or the best that, or I'm the one, you know, and maybe he had a haughty spirit. But he said, oh, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man, oh God. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Oh, may God humble our hearts. And he does. And he does. And then it says, he was astonished in verse 9 at the drought of fishes which he had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said, fear not, from now on we're going to catch men. We're going to go fishing for men. We're going to go soul winning. And he says, they forsook all and they followed him. They were astonished. I just want to bring this point out tonight, that when we call upon God and our heart is to be obedient to God and we cry out to him, we are astonished at the things God does. We need to be more astonished at the power of God. When he shows himself strong and we see the divine power of God and say, God, that's you. I could have never done this. It's the power of God. Where we are in ministry, where we are tonight, could have never happened without Jesus Christ. It's all about him. Give him glory. Give him praise in your life for the hand of God in your life. Do not neglect to give him glory and praise for the things he does in our life. And it says also their partners, and there they were together and so forth, and they were giving glory to God. Now, if you would turn me to Luke 22, let's keep moving really fast here. I've got to draw to a close. Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, and here, Jesus is here in Luke chapter 22, and he is telling Peter, here he is failing again. And Peter, he's like, I'll die with you, go to prison with you and all that. And Jesus saying, before the cock crows, you're going to deny three times you knew me. Me? Never me. I will not deny you. And then Jesus said something to him. He said, Peter, I want to tell you something. Satan would like to destroy you like wheat. But I prayed that your, come on, say it again. Say it again. I prayed your faith doesn't fail. Peter, I know you're going to fail. You're going to fail miserably. But I'm praying your faith does not fail. I want to tell you tonight, God uses people who fail because there aren't any other kind. We've all failed. We've all failed. And God is saying, I can use you. I want to forgive you. I want to help you. And he says, I'm praying your faith does not fail. Peter had no idea. In fact, he followed that by saying, and once you're converted, I want you to go and strengthen the brethren. What? He had no idea what he's talking about. Once you have a changed life, Peter, I'm going to use you to be a blessing to others. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, God is calling us to himself, and then he's calling us elsewhere. He's calling us to be a blessing, to help and to encourage other people along life's way. That's what he's calling us to. A next door neighbor, wherever we are, work, or wherever that might be, that's what God is calling us to. And then for Peter, turn with me now to, let me see, about verse 61 or somewhere in there. Just turn to the end of chapter 22, close to there. But it says here that Peter was there in the garden. And then they asked him there, not once, not twice, but three times. And in fact, in verse 57, I don't know who he is. Peter said, "Man, I know, I'm not the one you saw." Peter said in verse 60, "Man, I know what not what thou speakest." And immediately the cock crowed. The Lord turned and he looked into the face of Peter. Friends, please hear me. I do not believe it was a face of disappointment. It was a face of hope. Peter stood there, having just said, "I don't even know him." Are you serious? Jesus heard him say it, and he just looks at him with the eyes of love, with the eyes of hope. "Peter, I still love you. You've just really blown it. But I want to help you. Keep the faith." Didn't say anything. It's just the look Jesus gave him. "I believe." And it says Peter turned and he ran. And he wept bitterly. He just cried. He was so sorry for what he had done. Have you ever cried over your sinfulness? Come on, friend. I have. You cry because you failed the Lord. And then Jesus waited until after the resurrection, and he restored Peter back. And he restored Peter when he said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" So, you know. And he restored him. "Go feed my sheep." What happens in the book of Acts? Who is the first one to have the privilege to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, "Peter, you're my man. You failed miserably. You even denied you knew me. But in the book of Acts, he was chosen. You preach the first gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." He preached so hard that when they were done, the people said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Do what I did. Repent. Just repent." I know we need to close here tonight, but I want to look at that scripture in Luke 23, in closing here. In the final hours of Jesus, what happens with the thief? It says here in verse 32 of Luke 23, "There were two malefactors led with him to be put to death, and there at Calvary. And it was then in verse 34 where Jesus cries out, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' Those who have put nails in his hands and nails in his feet, those who had spit in his face and had beaten him to a pulp, had mocked him, 'Father, forgive them.'" Now, please just hear this. Both of those thieves were hanging on crosses beside Jesus. They heard every word that was being said. They were listening. One especially. He was listening. I believe they were both the same distance from Jesus. It says the soldiers mocked him and so forth. And then in verse 39, one of the malefactors, which were hanged there, railed on Jesus. "If you're the Christ, save yourself and save us." He was mocking Jesus. "I'm macho. I can handle this myself. This isn't really the Christ." Maybe he'd seen him do certain miracles. I don't know. And then the other looked over at that thief and said, "Dost thou not," what's the next word? "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" We are condemned prisoners. Don't you fear God? We need a holy fear of God. In America, in our churches, what's a fear of God? It's a holy reverence for the Lord. It's a reverence for him. "Lord, guard my eyes. Guard my ears. Guard my heart. Guard my mouth. Guard my body. I want to be reverent before you." The character of Christ to the glory of God, by the grace of God. No other way but by the grace of God. "Dost thou not fear God?" We're in condemnation. justly. We're receiving our punishment for the things we've done. But this man in the middle, he's done nothing wrong. He's done nothing amiss. And he's watching as Jesus is hanging there. He's trying to breathe. They can't hardly get up to breathe. Their esophagus is sunk down in and they got to push up to breathe. And they're breathing and he watches the blood running down the face of Jesus, running off his hands, running off his feet. And his body, he watches the blood and the crown of thorns, he watches the blood come down. And he's looking at Jesus. It's his final hope. It's the final moments. He's ready to die. And he says, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Jesus, he looks over at him. I don't think he said it fast because it was so hard to talk. I wish I could illustrate or explain to you why. But Jesus pushes himself up. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, glory. Imagine the thrill from the cross. Oh, oh. But imagine the horribleness of the other thief. I missed it. I could have done the same thing. Jesus was right here. I had the same opportunity. But I decided not to. The same privilege. But one looked up at Jesus and saw hope and saw the love of God and saw somebody who is a forgiver of all sins and said, I can trust him. The other one was too proud. Didn't believe. What about you tonight? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you know him tonight? There from that cross, Jesus said, into that last thing he said, Lord, into thy hands, Father, into thy hands, I commend my spirit. And his spirit went to the Father the moment he died. And the thief on the cross, remember he said, today you're going to be with me in paradise? When Jesus died and the thief died, Jesus did not grab the thief and said, here we go, that dead body. No, no, no. It was the same for the thief as it was for Jesus. Yeah, the thief was buried, the thieves are buried, Jesus was buried. The spirit had departed out of all of them. Come on, church. But the spirit of that thief who was repentant, that thief, the spirit of him, went with the spirit of Jesus Christ. He said, today you're going with me. I'm taking you to paradise. And the spirit went. But I got news for you tonight. On the third day, the Father took the spirit that was out of Christ and he put it back in Jesus Christ. And he got up and his body began to move and he walked out of that grave. Victory in Jesus for you and for me. And he said, someday, someday you're going to die. Someday you're going to die. Someday I'm going to die. The Spirit is going to leave me. But because of the hope of the first resurrection, which with Jesus Christ, the first fruits of them that slept, our body is going to be there, but the Spirit is going to be gone. But one day, the body and Spirit are going to be reunited again because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to give you hope tonight. I tell you, when you say what is to get excited about, that is what it is. It is the blood. It is the resurrection. Is it the power of God unto salvation? Is it a blessed hope in Jesus Christ? Calvary, never get over it. And tonight, if that joy of Calvary is not in your spirit, I beg of you. I pray that joy will never leave me. That joy of being forgiven, that my name is in the book of life. That I'm getting ready to go to heaven to be with him. Somebody asked me yesterday, are you ready to go? Would you like to go now? I said, I'd like to go right now. I mean that. I'd love to go now. Oh, yeah. Spend time here with wife and grandchildren, friends, everything. No, but I'd rather even go to heaven and just have everybody go who's a Christian. Let's all go. Hallelujah. Could we just tonight stand together?